Yeah, let me start the recording now. All right, you're good?
Awesome, great, thanks. Manu is not here just to help me solve my technical challenges today. He's actually here to talk to us about something I know we're all very, very interested in, which is the California DMV Open Credential Platform. I am very excited to hear what he has to say. So let's go ahead and get through our agenda and our housekeeping items, and then we will turn the floor over to him. I'm betting that I could like call on some folks to actually do the housekeeping notes for me. So as I'm looking down the list, I'm like, who should I call on? But I won't. I'll just preface that I might do that in the future. First of all, welcome to today's call. I so appreciate and enjoy this community. I thought the conversation last week and every week is valuable and collaborative and congenial, and that is exactly what we want. And we follow the code of ethics and professional conduct that's set forth by the W3C. And if you want to learn more about that, just from a this is how you write that down. It's the link is in the agenda, but I really appreciate everyone's commitment to that. We welcome everyone who is here. We're so glad that you are made some time in your day for this meeting, and we welcome your conversation and your opinion and your thoughts in this meeting. If you decide that you would like to contribute more substantially to the work items that we are in pursuit of, then I would invite you to go in the agenda, click on the links to become a member of the CCG and sign the IPR agreements so that you can and participate fully. We keep a record of these meetings via minutes and audio. You can see we have the Jitsi chat going and the recording. And that also allows us then to cue speakers in the chat, which will be the role that I'm playing today, is to sort of moderate this call and make sure that we get to hear from as many voices as we possibly can. So if you want to add yourself to the queue, you do that with Q+. If you want to remove yourself, Q-. And I will do my best to sort of keep on top of that. And now it is time for us to welcome new folks and folks who have maybe haven't been here for a while or want to share an update as to what they're doing. It is time for introductions and reintroductions. Do I have anybody who would like to jump on the queue and introduce themselves? Okay, well, we are all old friends here today then, and I will go ahead and move to announcements and reminders. And if you missed the window to introduce and reintroduce, you can jump in here. As well. Any announcements or reminders? Kalia?
We have Internet Identity Workshop number 39 coming up in October, October 29 to 31. I think it's still early vacation, so if you want to sign up and join us, now's a good time to register. And we have our digital, what's it called? Okay. Did Unconference Africa happening in South Africa on September 25 to 27. So if you know folks in the region, encouraged and you know, they work in the industry, please encourage them to look at the conference and consider coming and getting a ticket now if they want to come, because we're trying to figure out if we have numbers. So signaling by buying a ticket is an important thing to do.
Great. Thank you. Phil Long.
Put in a reminder that there is Badge Summit coming up in Boulder, Colorado, August 3rd through, I think it's August 3rd, through the 7th, is the full duration, but, the Monday through Wednesday is the primary days of that week. And it also happens to be that the last half is dedicated to the T3 mid-year meeting, and projects that it's doing with respect to credentialing will be featured in that particular portion of the T3 work. If there are things scattered throughout that might be relevant and interesting, I will put the link to Badge Summit in the chat. Thank you.
Phil, I know I am not able to go and I'm really disappointed about it, but I understand that there's like something later in August that is online. Is that like a repeat of the sessions or?
Yes, they have a combination of, I believe, recorded presentations as well as live presentations virtually, just to make the process of the in-person meeting a little bit less complicated. But yes, I think that's correct.
Great. Thank you. Erica.
Hello. Happy Tuesday. Just a reminder that Rebooting the Web of Trust will be convening in Ventura, California in October, the 7th through 11th. And early bird tickets are still available until August 9th with your event reading paper submission by August 2nd. So I'll drop the link to the event right with those dates and other ticket information. Thanks.
It's going to be a busy few months for everybody. All right, let's see. I think there's Manu.
Just an announcement around kind of where we are with the Verifiable Credential 2.0 working group. We are trying to wrap up almost every one of the specifications this month. Definitely trying to finalize Clea, I think you're unmuted and they can hear typing, sorry. We're trying to finalize the test suites as well. By the end of this month, which means that if you have an implementation, please start integrating with the test suites. We are going to try to get through, multiple interoperable implementations as quickly as we can. We already have enough to meet the bar for most of the specifications, but we would really like to make sure that implementers have a chance to implement against the final one. To make sure that they can, they don't have any issues implementing it. And then, we can make, a movement to basically finalize the specifications, at W3C, technical plenary. We'll go through another candidate recommendation just to be like, that's it. We're totally done. We're serious, around September. And then we'll keep that open for as long as we need to. But probably like minimum a month. Before we ratify the final, standards, the 2.0 standards. So if you have an implementation, please, make sure that you start integrating with the test suite. That's it.
Thank you. Benjamin.
Relatedly, we're bringing back test suite office hours, starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'll be emailing out information about how you can meet with me and some other developers who already have implementations integrated, and we can help you onboard your implementation there.
Great. Thank you very much. And thanks for sending that out to the list. That'll be great. Anyone else with announcements or reminders? Will, do you want to take a minute on work items?
Well, I don't have anything on work items, but I think this is a good time if anybody here is working on a work item. Like, I could read the list, but, maybe people just want to jump in and say, it'd be really nice to start hearing from people who are working on work items, like what they're currently working on, if they've got any blockers, and how people can help. So, I'll just say that this week, and if anyone wants to jump in and say something, then that would be great. But otherwise, maybe next week I'll just start picking on people based on the work items that I've collected.
Great. So we've given them a heads up that we're going to start picking on them for running the housekeeping items and for making sure that they've got work items to discuss. And we'll give a long teacher pause now to see if anyone wants to put themselves on the queue to talk about work items. Manu, thank you for jumping on the queue.
I'll bite. I'll be the canary. As many of you know, we've been working on the Verifiable Credential API, probably incubating it going on 2 years now. We are down to about 30 issues that are ready for PR, but given everyone so busy with the current Verifiable Credential 2.0 work and the new DID working group, movement has been slow to close up those last set of issues. However, once we do that, I think there is a plan to take a Verifiable Credential standards track at W3C. So, and again, it's just incubated right now. Things will change once we get it into the working group, but it's just kind of a heads up to the community that we do plan on proposing that. There is also been work done on render method. I think we're hoping to, you know, make some stuff public about that. It is clearly of interest to various communities around the world. And so we're trying to focus on that, as well. That's it.
And Manu, when does the VC API meet? Like, how do you get involved?
Sorry. Yeah, that's a great question. The agenda is usually sent out ideally on Sunday. I've totally messed up this week and haven't sent it out yet, but every, Tuesday, sorry, what is today? Yeah, it's Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern is when we have our calls. And we usually send a reminder out every week.
Great.
Great. Any other updates on work items? All right. You're off the hook until next week when we start calling on you. All right. I think we are now to the main agenda topic. So Manu, I'm going to give the floor to you and I'll do my best to kind of keep an eye on the queue.
All right. Sounds great. So today we're going to kind of talk a bit about a new open source platform called OpenCred that was partially funded by the state of California Department of Motor Vehicles. So the California DMV partially funded the work for this platform. I'll give the standard disclaimer. I do not represent California DMV or anyone in the state or any government entity or any of that stuff. I'm just kind of reporting out on where the work is. And with that, we can go in. OpenCred is basically, it's a verifiable credential verifier implementation. It does verification. So if we look at our three-party model, they're, you know, issuers, holders, and verifiers. OpenCred does the verification, portion of it. However, before I get, we'll go over a number of things today, like, you know, what does OpenCred do? Why did we build it? How does it work? What can you use it for? Things like that. But before I get too far, I wanted to say a huge thank you to a number of CCG community members. They're the ones that built the platform. I'm just here kind of talking about it. So many of you know them. So Nate Otto, I think, who is here today, Brian, Coyote, Ganesh, Dave Longley, Matt, Dave Lane. Did an enormous amount of work on the platform to get it to where it is today. So thank you very much to all of them. I don't know, Anil, if that's a hand to speak or is it a clapping hand? I'm going to keep going. Okay, so thank you very much to the OpenCred devs for putting the system together. They continue to work on it. If you have any questions, they're a great source of information. So what is this thing? Fundamentally, as I mentioned, it is a verifiable credential verifier. It is open source, so you can go to the California DMV GitHub repository or the state of California GitHub repository and download the OpenCred platform. It was funded by, partially funded by the California DMV. And basically it's just, it's something that helps you check people's verifiable credentials. Like that's what it does. It is in production. So it is running in production today for state of California. There are a number of other entities that are deploying it in production. And it supports multiple formats and protocols. You can read more about it on the California website. There's a URL in the slide deck that you can take a look at there. Why is this a big deal? OpenCred is the first platform to support a verifying a verifiable credential for a driver's license. So the state of California made a really interesting move in that they, you know, decided to build their own digital wallet, their own app. As many of you know, Spruce, who is also a community member, built a lot of the core technology for that app. That app holds a driver's license in two formats, in verifiable credential format and in the ISO MDL format. This is a big deal because the state of California has a lot of people in it. 30 million of those people have driver's licenses. And so this is now available in production to all 30 million, you know, of those people. Now, it is currently still in a, you know, quote-unquote pilot stage. They'll cap it at 1.5 million people, but adoption's looking pretty good and solid, and usage is looking pretty good and solid. So we're expecting that to be opened more generally as the months and years roll on. What OpenCred does right now is that it's an open source platform and it lets you receive a California driver's license as a verifiable credential and verify it. So if you're a person, if you're a company, if you're an organization, you can run this software, request a driver's license in verifiable credential format and get it verified, right? Okay, so that's kind of one of the big deals here. That's the new thing, you know, that it does. But there's a broader vision than just that. What we want to do with OpenCred is ensure that there is an open source platform, just out of the box software that people can use. Meaning like if you're an organization and you want to start consuming verifiable credentials, there's this free open source thing that you can use. And it is meant to be, digital credential format agnostic and protocol agnostic. Meaning OpenCred doesn't try and pick sides. It just says if you've got a digital credential format, it will, consume it, and verify it. So that, you know, the business process people can get on with doing business process stuff without having to worry about, is it a VC or is it an MDL or is it over OID4 VCI or is it over CHAPI or VCAPI? Does it use DIDKEY or does it use DIDWEB? This software is designed to kind of, make those things kind of fade off into the background, so that, people can start focusing on kind of the real business value, that digital credentials, provide. So the vision is format agnostic, protocol agnostic. However, as everyone here knows, it takes a lot of time and energy to implement each one of these formats and each one of these protocols. So we don't have every protocol supported out of the box right away. So what does it support today? As far as data models are concerned, it supports the VC data model version 1.1. Eventually, we're going to support VC data model 2.0, and MDL is also on the roadmap. As far as securing mechanisms are concerned, we started development on this a while ago, like well before the VC 2.0 stuff was even close to stable. And so we had to focus on something that was there, which was VCJOT 1.1. We also support data integrity today. And of course, we'll update to support whatever the latest VC 2.0 stuff ends up becoming, as well as the MDL as a securing mechanism as well. So again, it's, you know, we're trying to be agnostic to securing mechanism. As far as protocols, it's got built-in support for the Credential Handler API, CHAPI, VC API, and OID4VP. And we run OID4VP over the VC API, meaning as an exchange, as a workflow mechanism. So today it supports those three things. Eventually, you know, we're planning on building the digital credential API, into OpenCred as well. It is on the roadmap. We don't have an ETA on that, of course, but like we very much plan on, putting that in there as well because it's supposed to be protocol agnostic. As far as DID methods are concerned, today it supports DID key, DID web, and DID JWK. Eventually we do plan to support external resolvers, such as the ones defined by the new DID working group, working on, DID resolution. So things like, Daniel Tech's, universal resolver, is definitely on the roadmap, there. So that's the vision. Be credential format agnostic, be credential protocol agnostic, just support everything so the real business value for these digital credentials can be unlocked. Okay, so that's kind of the vision. Let's kind of talk about how it works. Fundamentally, the OpenCred platform can be operated in kind of two ways. One of them is like you run your website, like you run your website today, and then you use OpenCred to just do the heavy lifting when it comes to credential formats and protocols and stuff like that. So that's what we see today. That's what this diagram here shows. Like we start in the top left, with the web browser, with an individual in a web browser that starts some kind of business process. They go to a website, which is just a standard, you know, website. And that website has the ability to kind of put people into a digital credential flow of some kind. And that website can make a whole bunch of backend calls to OpenCred to do all the heavy lifting, like generating the QR code, doing VC API or CHAPI or ID4VP. And there's a whole bunch of back and forth communication that can happen, or you can kind of redirect to the OpenCred platform, which will do those things for you and then just give you the verified data, you know, back to your website. And of course, in all of that, there's a digital wallet involved that can communicate directly with the OpenCred backend if necessary. So it's, you know, it's designed to be as minimally invasive as possible for current business processes. It's not like an SDK that you have to build into your website. It can be a pretty light touch, integration. Okay. So that's kind of from an architectural perspective where you can put OpenCred and make it work. It also can provide a user interface, as I mentioned. This is from the California DMV website. So like I mentioned, this is in production for California. They put it on their login screen. So one of the use cases that California has is like just log in using your driver's license. Because California DMV basically has your driver's license data already and it's associated with an account and there's a whole bunch of kind of virtual field office stuff that California is doing and they want people to go beyond just username and password to log in. They want kind of a strong authentication through their app. So one of the ways is to log in with the California DMV app as an option. If you click that, it will generate on the California DMV website on the left here, it will generate a QR code. And then you use on the right here is a screenshot of someone using their phone to scan the QR code. And that'll put you into an OID4VP exchange running over VC API. And then, you know, it's standard stuff happens with the digital wallet. Digital wallet says, do you want to share this information? You decide whether or not you want to share it. You put that, and then it sends the data to OpenCred, which then checks the digital signature, checks the certificate chain, makes sure that the verifiable credential is valid, all that kind of stuff. It does all these checks. And then if all the checks, you know, come out that it's a valid driver's license, it will then send it back over to the originating website, like the login website. And then you log in. Like that's the like kind of simplest use case. And that's it. I mean, it's pretty, I mean, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen the flows before. It's like pretty straightforward. It shows a QR code. You scan it on your phone. You hit yes. And then you're logged in. That's the end of it. Like I mentioned, there are two operational modes that it can run in. One of them is it can operate as an OpenID Connect provider. And that is if your organization already uses OpenID, you know, Connect to do the login, it can act as a provider and give you back tokens to a website. Or it's got an HTTP API, and that's if you're not running OpenID to do login, and you have a website where you want to be more in control of the login experience. There are a bunch of APIs that you can call to like create the workflow, like the OID4 VP, you know, exchange, get the information from the exchange, check to see if the individual has, finished the exchange. There's a whole bunch of kind of like, what's the current status of the exchange? Tell me if you got, you know, the information. And then finally, there's an API call to actually get the driver's license data that you wanted, you know, out of the exchange. And that's generalized, meaning like it's any verifiable credential that was handed over. You can get the verified information back without having to do all the crypto and DID resolution and all that kind of stuff. This URL here is for, the GitHub repo. So it's open source. You can go there. You can download the source. You can run it. We've already got multiple fairly large organizations that are starting to use this. You can raise issues. You know, we'll respond when we can. And that's it. That's where the GitHub repo is. There are a number of features as well, but before I start going into the features, let's stop for a second. Any questions on what I've spoken to so far around like vision and what we're trying to accomplish here? Okay, if not, I'll go ahead and go into the feature set. So there are a number of features that OpenCred has that are worth kind of speaking to. The first thing is it's a Docker-based deployment, which basically means you can deploy it to any cloud environment. It can be on-premise, it can be a hybrid cloud environment, it can be a pure cloud environment such as AWS, GCP, Microsoft Azure. It's totally agnostic to where it's deployed and how it's run. Since you have access to the source code, you know, you can make modifications to it if you want to. But that's the general way that we expect it to be deployed is, you know, through Docker. Because it's a Docker image and because we've written it to be, fairly, stateless, you can horizontally scale to tens of millions of verifications per day. So, you know, this is out in production. It can scale to tens of millions of verifications per day, and you can go even higher than that if you horizontally scale it. That's up to your IT team to figure out, you know, how to do that best in your infrastructure, but it's built to do that. So it's not a toy. It's not, you know, it's not limited for small use cases. As I mentioned, it's the same code that's on the GitHub repo is the same code that we're running for California DMV in production for everyone in California. It does support internationalization for multiple languages. So a number of the screens that you saw, like this thing on the left here, that is generated through OpenCred. That is an OpenCred screen. in each one of these, you know, pieces of text can be replaced, can be internationalized. You'll see the translations thing up at the top here. Any language you want, you can translate the text to. And it's not just this text. You can totally change each line of this text as well. So it's very configurable based on the instructions you want to give to, you know, your population of people that are using the system. So it's got internationalization support just built in. And this next one's pretty interesting. It can also do auditing. This is a feature that larger organizations tend to want, where it will cache DID documents that were used to do login and verification, where you can send the presentation. You can and OpenCred does not do this. It does not store presentations, but you can configure other systems to store those presentations. And then you can, in the future, if, for example, an organization needs to prove that somebody did in fact interact with them, to do something that has some kind of regulatory thing associated with it, like, you know, the financial reporting or something like that, banks need to prove that, they actually interacted with you before you did, you know, a transfer over a certain amount. OpenCred, can verify presentations that happened in the past, last 6 months, last year, last 5 years, whatever, by ensuring that it keeps, cache versions of DID documents around. So even if the DID document disappears off the web or, off of the DLT that it's on, OpenCred is capable of saying, yeah, when the person sent that presentation 2.5 years ago, it was valid then. And that helps organizations meet regulatory burden if they're required to keep that information around. But again, to be clear, OpenCred does not store those presentations. We didn't think that that would be a good general feature for the platform to have. That is coming out in the next release of OpenCred. So that'll be out in a couple of weeks. So that's kind of a handful of features that it has. It also has a number of other features that we covered previously. So it supports open digital wallet selection, through multiple mechanisms, one through Chappie. It can use the credential handler API to do wallet selection, both web-based apps and, web-based, digital wallets and native digital wallets. It supports different presentation protocols. So it can use the Chappie native stuff. It can use verifiable credential workflows and exchanges through VC API. And it also supports OID for VP. It supports all of those things, and it's just a configuration setting to be able to support variations of those. The other thing that it has support for is it can do local verifier support, meaning like it natively, it can verify credentials itself if it needs to. There are, through the verifiable credential API, there are API endpoints that do credential verification. And so if you have a more enterprise grade verification, software deployment out there, you can just point to it, with OpenCred, and it will, use the external verifier system to do it, to do the verification. That is useful for large organizations, in state, federal governments, big companies with, you know, strong IT processes in place, where they would specify, like, specifically, these are the contexts we support, these are the DID methods we support, we don't support anything other than this, or they have, like, extra DID methods that they want to support that are not, you know, built in natively into OpenCred. Or they need to use external resolvers or things of that nature. So you can start off kind of native OpenCred, and then you can move into, you know, other mechanisms. I'll also note that the other external verifier support that we have is we've got Microsoft Entra support built in to OpenCred as well. So if you're running on Microsoft Entra, you can hook it up to your Microsoft Entra instance and do verification through that as well. So you can either use the verifiable credential API, which is, you know, pre-standards, but an open kind of specification, or you can use the proprietary Microsoft Entra API to do verification. So in a nutshell, those are kind of the features that OpenCred has. And that's pretty much it. That's all I, you know, was going to cover today. We can probably just jump into questions if folks have any. Happy to try and talk about roadmap. Happy to talk about, like, you know, what I can with respect to what went well and what didn't go so well with, you know, implementing this thing, and working with the various, standards and pre-standards out there. So let me stop there and see if there are any, questions, concerns, comments.
No one knows what to do because you're usually the first person to ask a question. Will, go ahead.
I can ask a question. Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested in, depending on what you can share, in like the lessons learned. Like, it seems like a very extensive project, right? You've covered a lot of things and have allowed like integration with more, like what are the challenges you've faced and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, happy to cover some of that. And I might, you know, Nate, feel free to jump in with other issues that you saw, while we were implementing. I'll note that, you know, we are trying to support every digital credential. I mean, the major digital credential formats and the major protocols here. And, one of the challenges that we had was trying to hit a target on what to implement, things that shifted out from under us while we were implementing were things like OID4, VP. We've implemented something that, you know, is, I forget which version we ended up implementing, but it's already changed, right? The new specs are already different from it. And now there's a question of like, all right, like, how are we going to support the old thing now? And we didn't even implement the middle thing. And now there's a new thing as of 2 weeks ago. So how do we keep pace with that? The selection of VC.11 was all we had at the time. And it is, I would imagine, it's not ideal. You know, we would have preferred that a different decision was made, but, you know, when large organizations look at this stuff, they're looking for things that are fairly stable, that are, you know, not going to change. And VC.11 was kind of locked in stone. So that's kind of the approach we took. There was also quite a bit of kind of, you know, trying to align the way MDL and the VC.JOT digital driver's license was done that led to, I mean, we used DigJWK, and that led to its own set of like kind of weird things that happened during, implementation. Like, for example, like when we were starting to, you know, move these VC JOTs around and all that kind of stuff, we started hitting storage limitations and databases, because they're legacy systems that we were integrating with, and they were like, you know, who would even think of storing something over 250 kilobytes for every presentation? But, you know, that's kind of like where we ended up. So there, and there was like X509 certificate chain stuff that ended up being pulled in with DigJWK that required us to implement an entire certificate chain, you know, checking, you know, mechanism, which is implemented kind of, I mean, it is implemented. But integrating it in with everything else, it took time and it was kind of a pain. And, you know, we got it wrong a number of times, before we got it right. And even that is, you know, kind of shifting sand. So I think the biggest challenge here were, pushing something into production, with the shifting sands around the OID4 stuff and, in kind of not, I wouldn't say experimental usage of JWK, but definitely, you know, it was more theory than practice when we were implementing it. And so we had to make a number of kind of design decisions on what we were putting out there. Now, all that to say, what we have out there is stable, but it's old, and it is definitely not what's going to be the thing that, you know, ends up being standardized. But, you know, sorry, the thing that ends up being what, you know, the VC2.0 work, you know, ends up becoming. But, given all that, you know, it is out in production and it is stable. And we are able to build, you know, business cases on top of it. And we were able to kind of, abstract away the implementation details to the point where the thing that you get at the end, which is the verifiable credential, you could write your business logic just to work on that. So you operate on the verifiable credential, data model layer. You don't operate on the DID layer or the protocol layer or the JWT layer, any of that stuff. You just get raw data back that's been verified and you kind of work off of that. So, that was kind of, I would say, our high level, experience with trying to put this thing together and get it out there into production. I see Nate's on the queue. So please, over to you, Nate.
Yeah. Thanks for that summary. The one additional challenge that I wanted to kind of bring in was there's some tension between use cases where the wallet is known. We know exactly which wallet our population is going to use, and use cases where we want to enable there to be wallet choice. It's kind of hard in a user experience, in a web app like this to do both of those things at the same time. And so the app here attempts to kind of thread the needle between these two different use cases, because different customers will want to either allow wallet selection and to be very agile as to which protocol the exchange is going to operate over. And then other users may have a use case where they've got a very specific wallet that they expect users to use and a very specific protocol that supports. And it's just kind of hard to build an interface at this point in the ecosystem that can do all of these different things at the same time and in a way that makes sense to the user, who really should not ever need to know what a CHAPI is or what a VC API is. But I think this is an interesting stab at attempting to solve that problem. And I think we did a pretty good job, especially with a lot of the customizability of all of the text strings in the interface. And so we're looking forward to seeing other approaches out there and the evolution of these different standards to work together a little bit better, so that hopefully we can put together a really nice user experience that enables either wallet choice or kind of a guided selection toward a particular wallet as different users need.
Yeah, that's, yeah, absolutely, Nate. And I think what ended up happening is at least with OpenCred, like if you look at the config format, it is massively, like configurable, right? To the point where I think we probably all believe there's just like, there's enough configurability to get yourself in trouble. And that, you know, I think we probably are going to try to figure out ways to make it easier to reason through the ways you can configure the system. So it's massively flexible right now, but now you have to kind of like understand how like all the OID for stuff, all the OID stuff works, all the VC stuff works, VC API, CHAPI, all that kind of stuff to figure out, you know, what subset of that you're going to use. Certainly, you know, people in this community can guide people in setting it up, but it's certainly not like, you know, turnkey software, at this point. Nate, I don't know if you want to speak to, like, we also had issues with like deep link versus, protocol scheme handler versus like QR code. Would you like to elaborate on kind of some of the challenges there?
Yeah. So as we're learning, some of these protocols work really well for same device flows or really well for cross device flows. And sometimes a particular protocol doesn't work very well for both a cross device flow and the same device flow at the same time. And so, for example, the experience around scanning a QR code, you can't scan a QR code with a camera on the back of the device that where the screen is on the front of the device showing the QR code. So we have to turn that into some kind of link for that same device use case. And the multiple different options there are to use a particular URL scheme, like the OpenID 4VP scheme that is clickable here. If you tap the QR code or in a newer version of the interface, there's a button that you can click, or it auto detects that you're on a mobile device, expects that you won't need to scan a QR code. Now it's a button you can click, but it's really just a link to an OpenID 4VP scheme. And if your device has a handler for that scheme installed, cool. If it has exactly one handler installed, great. Now you've opened it in that app. If you've got multiple handlers, multiple different wallet devices that purport to handle that scheme, then the selection experience as to which one opens can be a little bit unpredictable. Another option is to use a deep link, which is an HTTP link, but it goes to a particular domain on a, you know, that is owned by a certain developer that has registered that domain to associate with a certain app that they control. And so you can see that there's some trade-offs using these different mechanisms. If you use a custom URL scheme, then there might be multiple apps on the phone. The experience might be tricky picking which one. And if you use a deep link, then there is only one app that the user could navigate to with that link. So they would need to kind of select which wallet they're using before the link is even generated for them. And then alternately to that, there's the whole Chappie flows, which have kind of a different set of trade-offs. We're also encountering some issues around custom link handlers inside web views. So if you render the OpenCred UI inside a web view, sometimes when the user clicks that link, it results in an error and that needs to be caught and then re-triggered rather than the system being able to just pick up on that link click and navigate it to the direct application.
Yeah, absolutely. So it, as you know, everyone heard, like, there are lots of challenges on all the different ways that you can invoke and go through these flows. They're just made really complicated with the different decisions platform vendors have made. In theory, digital credential API is going to save all of us and it's going to get it right for both cross device and same device. And it'll be this wonderful, utopia once we get there. But, this is the reality of it today. That said, like, it's usable. Like, people are using it. And so there are ways to get through this, and the OpenCred system tries to iron over all of those wrinkles that Nate was talking about. But again, it's not necessarily just like, download the software, run it, and off you go. You've got to try all the variations out, to make sure it works for your, use case. Any other questions? Coyote, I don't know if you wanted to add anything with respect to, like, things that were hard to implement or challenges we face that we haven't met or haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I think you guys covered the general high-level stuff. I think there was some stuff with auditing as well that came about around actually tracking, like, the tokens that were presented in the past, and understanding that there's differences in different DID types, those that are dynamically retrieved from like a DID web, or those that are static, and handling those differently as far as the different versions of those DIDs. I know that there's work being done in the DID spec where you can actually start to specify the different versions and expose an API for that, but and also, y'all may be familiar with Brian's work with TDW, did TDW as well, which kind of tries to address that as well. But each of those things are kind of relatively nascent, so that's all I'll add there.
clear.
Yeah, hi. So the code for this is currently in the California DMV repo. And it was partially funded by them. Is this it the permanent home for the code, or will the code be somewhere else? And partly I'm asking because, you know, there can be confusion about, you know, confusion in the market about what things do and who, you know, like there's just, how do we get clear about some of these things? And maybe you don't know, but maybe answer the first question and then I can ask a more articulate version of the second question.
Sure. I get the question, the second question you're asking. So, mechanically, the code is in the state of California GitHub repo, not the California DMV doesn't have a direct repo. So it's state of CA.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And it's like super easy to, I was like, I don't understand why that's happening. Why aren't we putting it in the DMV repo? So right now it's state of CA / open cred, what you see on the screen. It will remain there for as long as the state of California, you know, decides. I can't speak to what the future plans there are. I can probably say that, like, they would like to make sure that the system that they're deploying in production is, you know, at least under their control. If it were moved somewhere else, I would expect them to maintain a fork that would pull in upstream. So if you, you know, who's in charge of, you know, open cred right now, it's the California DMV primarily and the state of California. I will also note that it is open source, and so anybody can fork it. So if you don't like that, you know, fork it and work on it, you know, elsewhere. It's under an open source license so that you can do that. I'll also mention that the base, I said partially funded by, because the base of OpenCred is all of the Digital Bazaar open source libraries. So there's a set of just fundamental, like Node.js libraries that build up an application kind of layer that, again, is under an open source license at Digital Bazaar. And then we added a bunch of other things on top of that to build OpenCred. But since all of it is under an open source license, then, you know, anybody can fork any one of the top level package or all the bottom level packages and do whatever they want to, as long as it follows the open source license that it's under. If I remember correctly, I think it was Apache 2 that we ended up licensing it under. Yes, Benjamin, who was involved in the licensing of it. Yeah, so it's Apache 2. Did that answer your question, Kalia? I don't know if it answered
this. Yeah, that was super helpful. A follow-up is maybe it's – I haven't really poked around enough, but, like, there – you know – which standards are you using? And is that like, is there a list somewhere? And is there anything in this that isn't standards based or like where is the line between like, we had to go production, so we filled the hole versus like the following the standards?
Yeah, that's a great question. That probably, I don't think the README has the list of standards that we implement. Does it, Nate? Benjamin, I don't think it does.
Not explicitly.
Okay. We should definitely list them because that would be a good thing to have there. The goal, Kalia, was everything's meant to be standards based. We tried to not fill any holes with any kind of like made up, you know, proprietary thing. We implement, you know, OID 4 VP, which version I forget which one we ended up implementing.
A little bit unclear. I don't necessarily think the wallets we were testing with were
compatible with a specific version either, but we're really close to the latest version, which is, I think, 20.
Yeah. So, we started with 18 and things weren't working, and then we did 20, but again, like, the wallets didn't necessarily implement the, and then of course there's a new version as of 2 weeks ago of OID 4, that we are definitely not, aligned with. VC API, we follow, the latest, in the specifications, verifiable credential 1.1. We follow the spec to the T as far as we know. Same thing for VC Jot 1.1. There's the VC API backend stuff for issuance verification, for verification, that we follow. I don't think we currently implement the DID resolution spec because we don't integrate with an external resolver. DID web, DID key, DID JWK. There are a number of pre-standards here that we did our best to try and align with whatever was in the specification. So, I'm trying to think of if there's anything where we went kind of, there was something that was so new that we were like, oh, that's not being worked on anywhere. We're just going to have to slap something together. The auditing stuff might be the closest to it, but
I want to let Stephen, we're just about at time, and I want to let Stephen ask his question.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mona, for presenting this and setting the deck ahead and all that, and thanks for the team. Two things. One is in relation to before with the standards. Can you also really specify the software supply chain for it? Like, you know, the polyfill sort of issues just kind of showed again that importance. So that would be equally helpful to have that. And then the question I had, and I had this also on the issue list, of course, is the next thing around issuance. Is there any plans on the roadmap for issuance?
I'll try to answer the second question first. There are plans to hook up to external issuance infrastructures. Doing kind of a lightweight, open source implementation of an issuer, we don't feel comfortable doing that right now, primarily because we do set up issuance infrastructures for organizations, and it takes a lot of effort to make sure that you've got something that's maintainable over the long term. And so we are going to use VC API to hook into external issuance infrastructures, to start. As far as software supply chain, the package.json's available there. You did bring up a good point about Chappie and dependence on external resources. Because it's open source and it's configurable, you don't have to use the components that you don't want to, right? And so you can deactivate, those components if that's what you want to do. We haven't really talked that much about kind of verified software supply chain for this piece of software. It's like most other open source software. It's kind of like what's there. And then if you want to do anything else software supply chain on top of it, it's kind of up to you as the deployer to do that. Benjamin, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to that. I said the wrong license earlier. It's BSD3 clause. But we did do some, extra lifting at the beginning. To implement the reuse specification, that does make generating software bill of materials relatively trivial. California isn't publishing any yet, but they can through the GitHub settings, among other places.
Great, thank you. Very helpful.
Great. Thank you all. Thank you, Manu. This is, again, really exciting work and exciting to see this all sort of really starting. The flywheel starting to really turn. And that is it for today. We've gone over just a little bit, so I appreciate everyone's patience. Thank you for this great conversation, and we look forward to seeing you next week.